But I want to go to Acts chapter 11, verse 26 to be our kickoff this morning. I love this scripture. I love it because it says this. It says, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people." And then check out what this says. It says, "And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." Now, I've preached on this message in the past, talking about the one translation in this scripture says this. It says, "And this was the first time they were called Christians." You know, and what I preached on this scripture last time was this. You know, if you're going to wear the label, you need to be what you say you are. How many of you guys have ever bought a knockoff? I got a Rolex one time when I was in New York. And it did not even keep working on the plane ride. When I got back, it was over there. And I say, there are knockoffs, and then there's the real thing. And the thing about knockoffs is they never have the value and they never do as good. So we preached on this scripture before. You know, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, then you need to be a Christian. You need to walk like it, talk like it. What's that saying? If you walk like a duck and you talk like a duck, then you're a duck. Well, if you're a Christian, you need to walk like a Christian, you need to talk like a Christian. Your label should, if it is Christian, you should be a Christian. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, because I'm telling you, if you're just a Christian on Sunday and Wednesday, you're not getting any of the benefits of it. Because the real benefits of being a Christian happen Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Truthfully, in the grand scheme of things, the worst part, the hardest part about being a Christian is on Sunday. Because you have to come in here and sit in church. It's probably the longest period of time you have to sit still in your week, other than in front of your TV. And so, this is, you know, that the truth is, if you're only getting the benefit of a Christian on Sunday, you're missing out on everything that God really has for you. So my thing is this, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, get everything out of it. Live it every day. But that's not the angle we're going to go with this morning. This is the angle I want to go with you on this morning. Here in Acts chapter 11, it says, and this is the first place they were called Christians. Now, that word meant a lot right then. I believe that's why God put it in there the way he did. This is the first time, one translation says, that they were called Christians. But I got to be honest with you. There is a law called the law of familiarity. And the law of familiarity means this. That if you have something for so long that it has the power to lose its importance to you. Now, I can't imagine, and in my mind, I try to put together the picture of what that word meant then. When it says Christians, what did they walk like? What did they talk like? But see, what's happened is now we're hundreds of years later, and that word is thrown around very easily. Almost everybody I know nowadays considers themselves to be a Christian, whether they walk like it or talk like it. Now see, Christian came out of the word Christ follower. And so now what we do is America is a Christian nation. It's why there's more Christians in America are self-proclaiming Christians than any other religion, which, you know, is amazing on this end, that's beginning to change. And if it continues to change at the rate it's changing, America may not be known as a Christian nation much longer. That tells me this, that there's a lot of other religions who people are more committed to being called what they are than Christians are being committed to being called what they are, to being what they're being called. It says that, you know, this is the first time they were called Christians. And so during this process, though, since that day, that word has lost a lot of its meaning. And I believe because just the label Christian goes on a lot of things nowadays, if we have gotten it so watered down and so construed that we have lost not only the meaning, but we have lost the power. Because I know a lot of defeated Christians. I know a lot of addicted Christians. I say this, and I say it with my heart of all respect. My aunt, Aunt Charlotte, that just passed away last week, was a devoted, sold-out Christian, but hooked on pain medicine for 15 years, which brought about her death just last week. I know a lot of divorce or divorcing Christians. I know a lot of depressed Christians. I know a lot of broken-hearted Christians. I know a lot of broke Christians. I've been a broke Christian most of my life. Right? So the thing about it is, what this word, this was a bragging point here for them. It says, this is the first time they were called Christians, which was a badge of honor, because what it did was taken something that existed for thousands of years and made it a very modern and powerful thing, and it began to change the world. They were let loose here at Antioch and changed the world and spread the gospel, and it was amazing. But nowadays, we got the word Christian. I got to be honest with you, it don't mean a whole lot. You can go watch a Christian movie and it have as much cussing in it as on a regular movie. Got to be honest with you, if your label is a Christian, and that's all you're calling yourself, I want to tell you, you're missing out on 99% of what's available to you. That word started out being a Christ follower. This is the first time they were called Christians. And what that meant at that point was those were those that chose to believe in Jesus. Now, if this was in the book of Acts, was the first time they were called Christians, what were they before? What, from that point on, that's what I want. I want to go take us all the way back, because a lot of us have probably come in here this morning feeling like I'm a Christian. There may be people in here this morning that came in here simply because they are a Christian. And since they are a Christian, this is what Christians do. On Sunday morning, they get up, they get dressed, and they go to church. I want you to know something. There's more, God has more in store for you than the modern day and understanding of being a Christian. So we're going to go back a little bit farther this morning than the book of Acts 11. I want to go back to the idea of what it was before they were a Christian, because I want you to know something. There was a day you were something more than what society calls a Christian. The Bible says in John, everybody, John 3:16. Go ahead, Daniel, go to John 3:16. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You can probably quote this with me. How many Christians know this one? Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now let me ask you this. What did that scripture say we were? And Acts says we're Christians, but there's a word there that totally defines everything you're supposed to be and everything I'm supposed to be. And when I get this understanding back, and that's what the terminology Christian is supposed to be, it changes everything. The Bible says that whosoever believeth. I want you to know something. If all you label yourself as a Christian, then you're going to walk around defeated in a lot of areas of your life. Because everything in your life does not base itself on you being a Christian. What it bases yourself on is what God said, that you're a believer. And I want you to know something. Nowadays, back then there may not have been a difference. But nowadays, there is a difference in being a Christian and being a believer. And I got to be honest with you. When I understand that everything in my life hinges on what it is I believe, it means that everything I have in my life is because I believe in a certain way. That's why we have addicted Christians. We have broken Christians. We have bondage Christians. We have alcoholic Christians. We have angry Christians. We have bitter Christians. We have all of these other kinds of morphed out Christians, because what it is at some point, Christians have made the decision to be, being a Christian was more important than being a believer. I want you to know something. Everything in your life hinges on what you believe. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that in Romans 4, chapter 3, says this. Before they were ever called Christians, the Bible says that there were people that became righteous. Not because they were Christians. But the Bible says it this. It says, you got there, it says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, do you see how big this is? But you can understand this. Righteousness. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, people were not able to get right or right standing with God? In the Old Testament, since they mess up, what they would do, they covered their sins with blood. That's why they were sacrificing lambs, and they were, ever since Adam and Eve blew it, there was a price for sin, and sin was could not be paid for in full until the New Testament. So it was not able for those to be by the natural or even by the law. They were not able to become righteous because Jesus had not bore our sin, took our place. So we were just putting lambs up and covering our sin. But the Bible says this, through the power of belief, Abraham was able to do something that was impossible to be done. I want to put this challenge before you today. I know a lot of us in here consider ourselves to be Christians. I want to put a challenge before you today and ask you this. Are you a believer? Because the Bible says this, that believers, if you can just believe, the Bible says, then all things are possible. Do you want me to tell you why that believer Christians can die addicted to pain medicine? Do you want me to tell you why believers' marriage or Christians' marriages can fall apart? Do you want me to tell you why you can be a Christian and be broke? It's because being a Christian is not enough. You must move to a place of belief. Everything in your life hinges on what you believe God can do. And I can tell you this. Any area of your life that's causing you stress, you're having a problem with believing God in. So I want to talk today about this area. We want to talk about what is belief. And another word for that is faith. You say, "Cricket, Lord, that's probably one of the most over-preached topic in the Bible." I want you to know everything hinges on faith. Everything. The Bible says this. The Bible says you could not even be saved if it were not for faith. It all started with faith. And I want you to know something. With faith, all things are possible. Is exactly what the Bible says. If you don't have it, if you're dealing with it and you're not got victory over it, you need faith in that area. Because the Bible says, with faith, all things are possible. You know, a lot of times we walk into the presence of God and we don't think God's happy with us. Why? I want to know something. You can be addicted and broken and still please God if you can just move to the area of faith. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if you can get faith, it don't matter where you came, what you've done, or what you're doing. God, if you can get faith in an area, God's happy with you. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more important it is to me to please God. Because I've learned this, the more God's pleased with me, the more He pleases me. Does that make sense? So we're going to be talking about everything in your life hinges on your faith. Everything. Now the thing about it is you need to understand this. The devil does not fight you in any other area or for any other reason except to defeat you in the area of faith. Because you got to say, "Well, you don't understand, Cricket. I'm dealing with the issues of health. The enemy's fighting me with disease." No, the devil's not fighting you with disease. The devil is fighting you with faith. Because, see, the devil knows this too. Paul said this, to die is gain. To live is Christ. So if you're a Christian and you're fighting, if you think the devil's fighting you with disease, you need to realize he's not fighting you with disease. He is fighting your faith. Because if you die, you still win. But if he can beat you in the area of your faith, he can keep you from doing all that God has called you to do. Everything the devil does, every way the devil come against you, every attack that is in your back is not over this life. It's over your faith. His number one goal is, if I can get his faith, I can stop him. If I can get his faith, he won't accomplish what God sent him here to do. If I can get everything in your life hinges on your faith. The devil knows that. That's why the devil fights you in the area of money. Because that's one of the major areas people have a hard time having faith in. It's not that he wants your money. I want you to know something. The devil has more money than me and you will ever have. I was watching the show about Pablo Escobar the other day, about them looking for his treasures. He buried something like $100 million in cash on that little island of Cuba, and people are still finding cash. I want you to know something. There's a lot of money in sin. The devil don't fight you in the area of money because he wants or needs your money. Stacy was telling me today they did a drug bust yesterday between Smackover and Frenchport in a little shack, a little house. The cops raided it and they took out of there $550,000 in cash. The devil's got money. So don't think the devil's after your money. He's after your faith. He wants you to think that God can't supply your needs. You need to understand it's not about what you're dealing with. It's about what you believe. And the devil wants you to think, if you deal with this long enough, he knows that you're going to quit believing that God will turn this around or God can turn this thing around. It's never a physical issue. It's always a spiritual issue. And it's always about your faith. The Bible says this in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. It doesn't say these signs will follow the Christians that go to church. These signs will follow the people that call themselves Christians. It doesn't say that these signs will follow those that go to prayer meeting. It says this: these signs shall follow those that believe. I want you to know something. Everything in your life hinges on your beliefs. Do you believe God can? Do you believe God will? Do you believe God's wanting to? See, the thing about it is this. Until you can get to the place that your faith can handle the battle that you're going through, the battle will not change. Everything starts with your beliefs. Now, the problem with most of us is this. The problem with most of us is not that we don't believe God can. The problem is we don't believe we can. And therefore, it brings in the conundrum of this. If we don't believe God, I mean, we know God can, but we don't believe we can. You don't know how many times I prayed with people on the altar that, you know, we were praying over addiction. They say, you know, I just don't believe I can quit. Well, then you don't believe the Word of God. Because in Philippians 4:13, what does it say? It says, I can do all things. Now, stop right there. Does every part of the Bible have the same amount of the power as the rest of the Bible? Do you agree that every letter, every word was breathed, inspired, and is living part of the Word of God? Alright, so if that be so, the part that says, I can do all things, can you not believe that? I want you to know something. I can believe. I was talking to Alexis the other day, and Alexis really gets mad. And I said, Alexis, she's going through this anger thing. I was like, Lexi, I said, baby, we got to get to this point where you're just not angry all the time. And she goes, Daddy, I can't ever get to where I'm not going to be angry. And I said, oh, baby, we got to change this belief. Because I know this, the Bible says you can do all things. And I'm not going to sit by and watch my little girl live a half-level life just because she don't believe she can't get angry when somebody does something to her. We're going to see her fulfill the Word of God. So we're working on this thing now that she can keep from getting angry. Why? Because she can do all things. And you got to understand this. Before you can believe you can do all things, you got to believe who made you. And how He made you. And that He didn't mess up when He made you. When God made you, He did not mess up. He didn't. There's nothing that God did not make that could not perform the will of God that it was created to be made for. Everything. When you look at a tree, do you think that tree can't do what God put it here to do? There's no way that tree can give shade. And there's no way that tree can produce oxygen. That tree does something. You don't question God's creation on anything else except yourself. You don't question, can that sun heat me up? If I stay out in too long, will it not burn my skin? You don't question the creation. What happens though is the enemy convinces, because he's always after your faith, that he convinces you that what God made in you is not right or perfect or can perform what God created it to perform. So before you ever be able to get to the next level of belief, you have to get to the place where when you look in a mirror, you know that I am made by God. And God don't make mistakes. You will never have any more faith than what you can believe in yourself. You say, okay, you don't understand. I've blown it a whole bunch of times. I do understand. You've not blown it as many times as I have. I'd be willing to put tit for tat on it on that area. But I do also know this, that I believe that God did not make a mistake. The Bible says He knew my end from my beginning. It says that I was wonderfully and beautifully created. That He formed me in my mother's womb. And that He had more thoughts about me than there were sands on the seashore. And then it says that all those put together make a plan. And man, I say, God did not mess up when He made you. And when He made you, He made you with the ability to accomplish what He put you here to accomplish. Thing about it is, we have a hard time believing that. And you need to know this. You can do all things. There is nothing that you can decide you can't do. It's like, well, Henry Ford said it like this. If you believe you can't, you're right. And if you believe you can, you're right. Everything that you accomplish in your life is because you choose whether or not to believe. Do you believe that God created you? Do you believe that God does not make mistakes? Do you believe that God put you here for a specific purpose and a specific task, and that you don't have to do anything to accomplish it except believe in Him? When you believe in Him, what happens is this: you can't keep it from happening. Problem is, we don't really understand what faith means or what faith is. We make it very complicated. We get into a place that we think it's something that we either got to cultivate, something that we got to reach out and take hold of. How many of you guys have heard this statement or thought this statement that, man, if I could just get enough faith, I could get through this thing? Have you heard that? Yes. Have you thought that? Let me tell you what the Bible says about that. Romans 12, verse 3. This is what the Bible says about it. I want you to know something. You can't get enough faith. So it takes you out of the picture. You can't reach out. Let me ask you, did you get enough faith to get saved? Did you grow that for a long period of time and eventually get it to get strong enough and big enough to where it produces something, and then you were able to get saved? No. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says faith comes. It comes. So where does it come from? The Bible says here, it says, for I say, through the grace given to you, to me, to everyone who was among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each man a measure of faith. Every single person in here, the Bible says, God has given you a measure of faith. Now the problem is, we've got it, you've got it, every single person in here has it. You all have the same measure of it. The difference is what some people do with their faith is different than what other people do with their faith. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can break addiction in your life. You can live set free. You can stay married without divorce. You can go through attacks from the enemy in your health area and recover. We're sitting here looking at a man right here that recovered from cancer last year. And he does not, you know, the Bible says this. The Bible says the children of Israel walked through fire and they did not even smell like smoke. He don't look like he's been through cancer, does he? He don't even smell like cancer. Why? Because if you can believe God, all things are possible. You say, well, Cricket, I know somebody that didn't make it through it. You got to understand, everything the enemy does, he's going after your faith. When he went to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, before they went into the fiery furnace, what happened? It says the guards got close and they were killed just getting close. Now, what significance does this have in this story? Well, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to walk through the same fire, guess what they had to walk by? They had to walk by people that didn't make it. I want you to know something. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are not going to make it. And the thing is, you got to decide if you're going to be one of those or not. Because it all comes down to what you believe. If you believe God can, God will. If you believe God can't, God can't. It's all depending upon your faith. Now, the Bible says, though, that faith is so important. It's so important that it breaks it down like this. It says that everything you do and the ability of you doing it all comes down to faith. For example, it says that you walk by faith. For somebody that has faced disease, and wheelchair, they understand what that really means. What happened to the days? And I'm telling you, they weren't faking it back then. What happened to the days and revivals when someone would walk up to somebody in a wheelchair and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And those lame people stood up and they walked. What happened to those days? You want me to tell you what happened to those days? We quit believing. God didn't quit miracling. We quit believing. The very fact that you're walking, the Bible says, you can only do that by faith. I'll even prove it on this level. The very fact that you're sitting proves that you have faith. Because you have faith in that chair, or you would not be sitting it. If you did not think that chair could hold you up, I promise you, you wouldn't have put your pressure on it to let yourself hit the floor. See, the thing about it is, we choose on things in our lives what we're going to put faith in and what we don't. I've got some chairs in the back that if I brought them out here, I promise I couldn't get a single person in here to sit in because the legs are all wobbly and broken off of you. I'm not sitting in that thing. Dangerous. I want you to know something. Everything that you put your faith in this life besides the Word of God is dangerous. Because it will let you down, it will break your heart, it will leave you stranded, and what it does is, it's an attack of the enemy to try to keep you from believing God again. Everything comes down to faith. We walk by faith, we live by faith, we're healed by faith, we're saved by faith, we talk by faith, we think by faith. You must face adversity by faith. Everything in your life must be approached and gone after in the area of faith. Or you will not live to the potential that God's put inside of you. Well, you say, well, Cricket, I understand that. We've heard all this stuff. Faith, faith, faith. That's faith the part of our world. But what is faith? First of all, you need to know something. Faith is not a feeling. You will never feel faith. You will feel afraid. You will feel discouragement. You will feel hurt. But you will never feel faith because faith is not a feeling. And if you have to feel faith before you can have it, you will never have faith. Most of the areas in my life that I have learned to come to the place of faith in, I'm still scared to death. Because God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but He's given me a spirit of power. But it doesn't take out the understanding of there still is fear that you will face. The question is, what do you do when you're afraid? Well, you have faith. The Bible says that the just live by faith. The very thing that gets them out of bed every day is their faith. Now, the Bible says this. The Bible says in the area of faith that it is the thing that qualifies and the thing that makes you and I known for. In Hebrews 11, the Bible goes to what we call the definition of faith. Now, Daniel, if you'll go with me here. When most people preach on faith, it's preached out of this book in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. Because it goes into saying this, it says, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's hard for me to understand because it's kind of like this terminology that just really hard for us to wrap our mind around. And it says, now faith is the substance. And so what happens here is this. Most churches, or in most of my life, this was taught, the definition of what faith is. Now, if this is the definition of faith, and I don't really quite completely comprehend and understand it, then how am I supposed to fully walk in it, live by it, exist in it? Because it's just, but the problem is this, we make that the definition when that's not the definition. That's just the start of the definition. When Hebrews 11 was written, it's an entire chapter, and the entire chapter is the definition. We're going to go through that and just say, let me explain it like this. How do you describe love? Does anybody tell me, like, say, can you describe love in one sentence? It's impossible because love is so deep and have so many different understandings. And so the Bible actually, when we don't have a problem understanding it, in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says that it's called the love chapter. It took him a whole chapter to give the definition of what love is. You need to understand, faith is not in one scripture. Faith is in the book here. This whole chapter explains and lays out faith in a way that you can understand it and I can understand it. And so we're going to try to break it down here just a little bit this morning. And what, when you read on that, it says this. We're going to read through a few of them, Daniel. Go back up to one more for us. Let's read that one. Go back up. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I saw this illustration one time before, and it really made a lot of sense to me. So let's break this down. Has anybody got a $5 bill on them? My wife don't let me carry cash. Can I borrow your $5 bill? She keeps saying, oh, Miss Erlene's got one right there. Let me borrow it. All right, so faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, what you got to understand is this. In the terminology of faith, it's hard for us to understand what that substance is. But let me tell you this. This right here, on the front of it, it says, let me get my eyes working, Lord. What 40s did? I can't wear them. They look too bad. I got too young of a wife to put on reading glasses. All right. It says, this note is legal tender for all the debts, public and private. And that's written right on the front of it. Now, what that means is this. This note right here, although if I ate it, it wouldn't be very filling. If I owed a debt that I could not, physically fulfill or pay, Bible says this, the front of this says, this has the ability to do it. Now, let's say this, and this is the way I heard it. I heard that, what if I was hungry and I needed to eat? And when I needed to eat, all I had is this, and I didn't have, but what would this get me if I was hungry and I needed to eat? I could go to any fast food restaurant in this town, pull up to the window and order a taco or a hamburger, and when I pull around to the front to get what I hope for, what do I give them? This. What is faith? Faith is the substance that will get you everything that you have inside of your life that you're hoping for. I want you to know something. If you're hoping that your marriage can go through what it's going through, all you need is faith. If you're hoping that your body can make through what it is, the disease or attack the enemy, all you need is faith. If you're hoping that your children come to the Lord, I want you to know something. It's as powerful as a legal tender is in the United States here. It will. You can carry it to any institution that sells what it is you want, give it to them. And the Bible said, this is a legal tender. You can say, Miss Erlene's got my hamburger. Here's your money. Give me my hamburger. And I get what I was hoping for by giving what I had. And you may not have dollars and this is not a restaurant, but you do have faith. And whatever area it says you're the substance of thing, your faith is the money that gets what you need. Problem is, most of us don't even know what faith is anymore. So we're going to go on through. The evidence of things not seen. We say, Cricket, I don't have a dollar. I can't see this thing. Because you can't see what faith is. And we're going to talk about that in just for a second. Go to the next scripture. This is what it says. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Let's keep going. In other words, the people before us were able to be amazing because they had it and they used it. Then it says this, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. It was faith that put everything together and holds everything together. And if you don't have faith, I want you to know something. Your life is not going to stay held together, because it is the very thing that frames you in and frames you up. If you were to go into a house and take the frame out, we're remodeling a house right now and we tore into it. We got into the bathroom and Jennifer said, it's all got to go. So we started gutting it all out, and as we were gutting it out, the bathtub was real weak. So I jumped up on it and started, and the thing just crashed right through the floor. And Jennifer freaked out. She freaked out. I'm a builder. I understood. She goes, how did that do that? I said, well, the frame underneath it was weak. When you got weak faith, the frame of your life that's holding everything together will give in as soon as the right amount of pressure has been put on you. You've got to understand your faith is what frames everything together and holds everything up. Let's go to the next one though. It says, by faith, Abel. Now, I'm going to jump ahead real quick on a few things, and this is where it talks about going on through. And we'll come back and pause here for just a minute. Giving the definition of faith, the first part of it, explained the power. power of it. Next thing he says, why you need it so much, because your life will fall apart without it. But then he breaks it down and tells us two very, very important things. He tells us, number one, where we're supposed to have it and how we're supposed to have it. And over the next several scriptures, the Bible breaks it down. And I'm going to give them to you. The Bible says this. The Bible says that we are to have faith, which means we live, we move, in these areas. Number one, in your worship. You must have faith. You cannot worship without faith. Number two, in your relationships. Number three, in your job. All right, number four, I'll show you one. All right, here's this. It says, for by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his good gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. Go to the next one. So there's the worship. This is the next one. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And it was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God. You can't have a good relationship with yourself, with God, or with anyone without faith. All right, go to the next one. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Go one more. And then we're going to stop. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved through godly fear, prepared an ark for saving his household. Now see, it was his work he did here. So I'm going to drop back up. Let me just ask you, are y'all getting anything out of this, or do I need to burn up to back here? I want to explain, because this is changing my life dramatically. I need to go back and explain how it is that I have faith. Because I want you to know something. Faith is way beyond positive thinking. If all you do is speak positive and think positive and try to be positive, you're probably a joy to be around, but you're not accomplishing a whole lot. Because faith is way more than being positive. Let me say this. Faith is way more than knowing the Bible. Way more. Because there have been a lot of times in my life that I knew the Bible said that he shall supply all my needs according to his riches and his glory. And I would go to my bank account and not have enough to write a check for the bills. I want you to know something. Knowing the Bible is not enough to have faith. You can know it from cover to cover, and I'm telling you, it does. Let me tell you though, what does, then you say, well, Creed, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by, you're absolutely right. It does come by hearing and hearing, because when you hear it, faith can happen. But just hearing it does not make faith so. Now, a lot of people don't understand, like with me, a lot of people, you know, and I'm just saying it because I had somebody actually say that, Cricket, every time I come to you with a problem, you don't want to sit and listen. Let me tell you why that is. Because faith is contagious and doubt is contagious. And I got to be honest with you, I face big enough issues in my life that I will pray for you over any area, and I will pray with you in any area you got faith for. But I'm going to be honest with you. If there's an area in your life you don't got faith in, and you don't got faith for, and you don't want it, then don't come talk to me about it. Because of this reason. You don't take a tree that's got a disease and a tree that's healthy and put them beside each other, and the healthy tree be contagious to the disease tree. Never seen a disease tree catch healthy. But now I have seen a disease tree and a healthy tree, and the healthy tree catch healthy. All right, let's go to this real quick. Well, before we go to that scripture, let's go to this one. Go to Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. Before we get into it, really, we got 10 minutes. Jennifer, like I say, that's one of the things I love about Jennifer, and I love everything about Jennifer, but Jennifer put me with somebody that always, always speaks faith into my life. Even on days that I'm having a bad day, dear, like, Cricket, God's going to take care. Because I have to stay around people that speak faith to me. Amen. A lot of people, I'm just going to be honest. If you've been offended at me because I can't run around with just everybody, I want you to know that it's because it's not anything wrong with you. Is there a problem wrong with me? And if I allow doubt to consume my world, guess what I'm going to walk around with? And I've got too many little lives. I've got too many big issues. I've got too many things that are depending on me to keep faith in that I can't afford to hang out with somebody that's not willing to walk in faith in that area in their own life. You say, well, great, you should have, you're in the ministry. I do. I will minister to whoever, but I don't hang out with. Because what happens is if you hang out with people that don't have faith, you will not have faith. If you hang out with somebody that's always, always, always telling you how bad it is, telling you about what all they're going through, I want you to know something. You're going to have a lot of bad things you're going to go through too. Because just like faith comes by hearing, doubt comes by hearing. And I have to purposely decide. The Bible says bad companions corrupt good manners. I have to purposely go after finding people that will speak faith to me, especially in the areas that I'm weak in my faith. And I have to purposely, and this is hard for me to learn, I have to learn to shut my mouth in those areas too and not speak in those areas, because the minute you start speaking, I want you to, it affects your faith. Let me show you. Luke 17, verse 5 and 6. And the apostle said to the Lord, ensure our faith, increase our faith. How many guys have said that before? Increase our faith. Let me let you know something. You've got all the faith you need. You don't have any more faith than Smith Wigglesworth, any more faith than T.D. Jakes, any more faith. Yeah, I mean, they don't have any more than you. They don't have. We all, the Bible says, have the measure of faith. So when we're asking God to increase my faith, I'm trying to put faith in something that can't be done. Now, what God expects me to do is start using my faith because of it. Do you know I've got a brain in here? Jennifer would argue with that fact with you. But this is what they say. I only use 10% of it. Does that negate the aspect that I have 100% brain in here? Absolutely not. I can have 100% in your car when you're driving home. All right, everybody in here that's got a car, you know, you've got a speed limit that you're supposed to drive. And you put your foot on that gas, and you can make the car get up to that limit. But let me ask you this. If you push the gas harder, would your car go faster? So it has the potential to do more than what most of us do. I run off 10% of my brain, is what scientists say, but I have 90% I don't use. Let me ask you a question on this. How much of your faith are you using? Because the Bible said He gave each one a measure. And you got to know this. See, the Bible says that by faith, Abel, by faith, Abraham, by faith, with the, you know, they were all known not for what they did, but for what they believed. Let me ask you this. What are you known for? Are you known for your anger? Are you known for your dirty mouth? Are you known for your negative? Are you known for your complaining? Are you known for what? If I were to ask your wife, your husband, your friends you work with, what would you be known for? Until you're known and the people around you know you by your faith, you're not going to live the potential that God has for you. Because it says, by faith they... And these guys in Luke 11, it's called the Hall of Faith. In other words, it's like the Hall of Fame. If you're a sports guy, you can relate to this. You know, guys that accomplish such amazing feats in the area of sports. If you're a rock and roll guy, people make it into the hot rock and roll. These guys made it into this book, not because they were strong, not because they were mighty, not because they were good at what they did. Because the matter of fact is, if you're relying on any of those, you don't have faith. To have faith, you have to simply come to the place that I can do all things through Christ. And because God made me, He gave me the potential to. And if I can't believe it, then I won't. This is what it says there, though. It says, if you increase our faith, go on down to the next scripture with me. So the Lord said, if you had the faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea. And what does it say? It will obey you. Now we read those and we think, oh, there's no way that's naturally possible. He's talking about spiritual things here. All right, well, let's say this. If he's talking about spiritual things here, and he's not actually, I believe it's naturally possible too, because the Bible says, if you talk about the tree. All right, so let's just go into the spiritual side of it. Do you know what the mulberry tree represents spiritually in the Bible? It represents weeping and hard times. So let me ask you this. If you don't want to believe it's natural, then let me ask, do you have any weeping and hard times you're going through right now? And if you do, then all you need is faith to turn it around, and it will obey you. So if I have weeping and hard things going on in my life, I need faith. All right, but I love this part. You see what it says here? See, we think, when how many of you guys were growing up, you were shown a grain of mustard seed in Bible school, and there's a little bitty thing on a necklace and all that, and they say, well, if you could just get faith like this, that's not what it says. Do you see that? Because when we see that we think size, right? Size. That's not what it says. It says as. Let me tell you a neat little thing about mustard seeds. Mustard seed is the only seed that you can take, lay on a table, take a hammer to it and smash it, and life still stay in it. Mustard seed is the only seed that you can take and place it under a rock, put the rock under it, and when it begins to sprout up, every other seed, when it hits that rock and can't get through the light, it dies. Mustard seeds don't do it. They have recorded that a mustard seed will grow up, hit the bottom of that rock, and if it has to grow 2 miles underground before it can find a crack to poke out of, it will not give up. That's why over in the Middle East, you can walk up to a mountain and you'll see a mustard tree sticking off the side of a cliff. He's saying here, if you can get faith that will not give up, and it can go take a licking and keep on ticking, if you can get this kind of faith, there's no way and no natural thing that can stop you, because all you need is faith. Go real quick to this one. Go to Matthew 17:20. You say, yeah, that tree's impressive. Let's go to something even more impressive. The Bible says this. Paul says, and so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say unto you. Now you got to understand this, where we're going to get into talk. So if you have faith as, see it says as again, a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. Now most of us don't even have enough faith to deal with the mulberry tree. How in the world are we going to deal with this mountain? But the Bible says faith has the power to move mulberry trees. And if you want to go spiritual with that, hard times, difficult, weeping is the weeping tree. And then it says mountain. The amount of faith that you have, the same amount of faith that can move a tree, can move a mountain. And every one of us have this amount of faith. But it's not the size and it's not the measure. It's the ability of use. It says, as. See, it says, you will say to this mountain. Going back to why I just can't hang out with just anybody. Because you got to understand, what comes out your mouth affects your faith. And what you let other people come out. Do you know Jesus? The Bible says when Jesus went to Jairus' house, first thing he did, he ran everybody out of the house that was crying. Before he could ever raise that little girl from the dead, he said, all you guys that are sitting around here crying, get out, because you will affect what's about to take place right here. He had to run everybody out. He had to get people. The Bible says when he went to Nazareth, he could only do little miracles. We're talking about Jesus that walked on water. Jesus, they said he could only do little miracles because of their unbelief. You need to know something. The people you run with affect what you can believe God to do. And you got to decide. I'm not a respecter of persons. If God do it for me, God loves everybody. He sends Jesus for everybody. But the thing about it is, I can't let you, if I can minister to you, but I will speak into your life, but I can't let you speak into my life if you're not speaking faith. That's why I always told Dad, I won't make it very good, because I can't. Our dad can sit there and let somebody, he has a lot more faith than me. He can sit there and let people talk about how bad it is and how long it is for hours, and he still walk out of there. Praise God. I would get on me. I'd be like, man, God is letting them down. You know, so I just have to make this up. I can't be around people that can't say to their mountain. And it takes the process of not just you knowing. You must move to the process of you saying. Now, this real quick right here. So it says they can say to their mountain. Now, jumping over to Hebrews chapter 11. Like I say, this is the definition of faith. Faith is not faith unless it shows up in your worship. Faith is not faith unless it shows up in your relationships. Faith is not faith unless it shows up in your job. Faith is not faith unless it shows up in your destiny, in your health, in your eternity, your trials, your future, your legacy, and what you are leaving left behind. We'll get into those later because it says by faith. We're going to take the first three real quick. Hebrews chapter 11, Daniel, verse 3. It says, by faith, Abel. Most of us, because we're not believers anymore, we're Christians, can't get faith in our life because we can't even get faith in the simplest area of our life to get faith in our form of worship. You would say, Cricket, how can you even worship without faith? You can. You can't worship without faith, but the thing about it is, at what level are you worshiping? In other words, you can't be saved without faith, but I know some people that are just saved by the skin of their teeth. You know them too. And so there's different levels. We all have the same ability, but so this is what it says. What are we known by? It says, by faith we understand. Go to the next one. I'm sorry, go to verse 4. Talk real quick about our worship. Here in this story, here in the definition of faith, it starts talking about, gives us the definition of, number one, how to have faith in the first area of your life, which is worship. If you can't have faith in worship, I want you to know something. You can't have faith anywhere else. Problem with it is a lot of us don't understand what having faith in our worship means. So it broke it down for us like this. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 4, we won't go there, Daniel. I'm just going to tell you. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's children, and they were both given the task of worshiping God. And both of them took a different route on how they chose to worship. What you need to understand is this. There are certain requirements to worship. And if you're not willing to fulfill the requirements for worship, then you don't have faith in your worship. I want to tell you, if you don't have faith in your worship, you don't have faith anywhere else. That's why this one came up first. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says God asked for them to worship. Now, it doesn't say it in Genesis chapter 4, but it lets us know the way they did it, that there was a requirement. You can read back in Genesis chapter 3 that when Adam and Eve sinned, God went and killed two animals. They were covering themselves up with leaves, and God said, that's not going to do. It's going to take blood. And so he went and he killed the animals and put their garments on them. Here in the next chapter, in verse 4, we find the same issue. We find Cain, the Bible says, trying to worship God with leaves. Abel understood the requirement of what it took. That means this. If you're going to have faith, you have to do it God's way. Do you want to know the definition of faith? This is the definition of faith. You don't do it your way. You must do it God's way. And in any area of your life that you're not doing it God's way, and you're doing it the way you feel, the way you're comfortable, the way it's easy, you're not doing it by faith. Because see, Cain, the Bible says right here, the Bible says Cain's sacrifice was not accepted by God. Why? Because Cain did it his way. There was a requirement for sins. When you come and you worship and you build an altar and sacrifice for the Lord, he demanded it to be in blood. What he brought him was what was comfortable to him. He was a farmer. He brought him what he was good at. I want you to know something. God don't want what you're good at. God wants what he requires. And if you only bring God what he's good at, what you're good at, it's not faith. Because if you could only bring God what you're good at, and it could, then that means some people that are better at some things than I am would be able to have more faith than I would because they're better at things than I'm at. Which is that God gave us all the same measure of faith. And faith is not what you're good at. Faith is not what's comfortable. Faith is not what you want to do or doing it your way. Faith is doing it God's way. No matter how you feel, no matter what it costs, no matter how tough it is. I'm telling you, he could have went and traded his carrots for a sheep. But he didn't. I don't know if it was because of his ego. When he grew them plants, he thought, wow, man, look how good. I don't know if he was so wrapped up into himself, it kept him from having faith. But the minute you start to, people are, and it's not about the money. This is what T.D. Jakes told this story one time. It changed my thought pattern forever. God don't want your money. God don't need your money. Money is an expression of your heart. That's what the Bible says. Where the heart is, the treasure is. You show me somebody that can't give their tithe, I will show you somebody that does not have faith for God to supply all their needs. That's why they don't have enough. It's not about your money. T.D. Jakes said this story. He said him and his wife were shopping for a house one time. And they walked into a house. And when he walked in, very nice house, real nice neighborhood, looked around. When he saw the house, he leaned over to his wife and said, this husband don't love this wife. And she said, why? He says, because he didn't spend any money on her in here. He says, you find a home where a man that doesn't spend money on that wife and in that home, you'll find a home that doesn't have love for that woman. Because this is what he said. He said, men will always put their money where they like to play. You go down to a men's game room or his man cave, and if it's nicer than the living room, got nicer toys in it, I'm telling you, he loves himself more than he loves his family. And sacrificed himself over his children. You find a, and this is what he said. He said, T.D.J. said, him and his wife left. They came back a month later. And this is what the lady said. She said, you know, the reason why we're selling this house is because my husband ran off with a younger lady and left me here with these two kids. It's not about your money. It's not about your sacrifice. What it's about is doing it God's way. And when you have faith, you don't mind doing it God's way because you know when you have faith, all things are possible. Even when it looks like there's not enough, there will always be more than enough because it's faith. But it says here, this is what it says. It says that Abel's offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why? Because Abel did it God's way. Cain did it his way. The end result of this story was this. Cain did it his way. And God cursed him. Now, you got to understand, the Bible said this. The Bible says that he was a farmer, he grew great plants. You know, he did that and he brought it to the Lord. But the curse of him doing it his way with no faith was this. The Bible said that the tree, the grounds, and the things never bore fruit for him again. He could never make a living doing it the way he did before. Why? Because he didn't have faith. Faith is God, not my way. But you don't understand, Cricket, I'm scared. Faith is not about not being scared. Faith is being obedient to God. Any area in your life that you're not obedient to God, in the area of relationship, in the area of money, you don't have faith in. I'm telling you, everything hinges on faith. And if you will say, Cricket, I'm scared, I'm worried, but I know this. If I will just do it because God said do it, the action of you doing it God's way comes down to salvation. I had a guy one time tell me, and there's no way that just doing those two things in Romans 10, 9 and 10 says do will keep me from going to hell. So he didn't do it. That's crazy to me. When it's as simple as just doing it the way God said do it, releases everything in your life for God to fulfill what he has promised and made you to do. Any area of your life, you can't. If you're single and you can't keep yourself pure, you don't have faith, and that's why God hadn't been able to bring them in. If you're broken and you can't pay your tithes, that's why God can't bring your finances turned around, because you're not doing it God's way. God did not give you rules to control you. He gave you rules to bless you. And when you do it his way, it's faith. Amen? I'm done right here. We got a lot more to go in this, guys. But I want to do this. The Bible says this. All we have to do is have a little bit of faith. A little bit. Amen. And not use all of it. I mean, you have the capacity. The Bible says the same capacity as Peter had. And Peter walked on water. I mean, that's insane to think that he's got the same amount of faith as I have. You would think, oh, well, we think this. Abraham, who is the father of faith, We think that he maybe had more than we have. Nope, 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 nope. He was just the first one to start using what he had. If you will use what you have, God can use what you use to do anything you can possibly ask, the Bible says, think of, or even dream of. With faith, all things are possible. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have to begin to use what God's given you. And the way you use the way God's given you, you start doing what He's told you to do in that area. And if you don't, it's okay. You'll just miss out on all God has for you. I want to say this. I want you to reach your hand over and put it beside the person that's sitting with you. Because what's fixing to happen is I'm going to give you a chance to use your faith. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God, all you need to do is have faith that God will forgive you for anything you've done and give you right standing. The Bible says, but by faith, Abraham obtained righteousness. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God, when we pray, I just want you to say, God, I believe you died for me. God, I believe you rose for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me for my sins. And you believe it. You do what he said. And faith will work in your life. What I want everyone else is put your hand on the person. And I want you to use your faith to bless somebody else. We're going to pray that God would give every person in here strength and power of faith in their life. The Bible says there is a spirit of faith. There is a gift of faith. I want you to pray that God would put a gift of faith on each person. Right now, just begin to pray. Father, God, I ask you to put a gift of faith on this person. Allow them to begin to see areas in their life where the enemy has defeated them in the area of obedience. And as you give them the strength to begin to obey in this area, Father God, they begin to walk in faith. You will begin to release the blessings in their life in the name of Jesus. I want you to know God can do all things. All things. You can do all things. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. This is what the Bible says right now. And as you have faith and do what he's called you to do, God is pleased with you. In your mind's eye right now, I want you to see what God's face looks like with your faith. Is he smiling? Is he happy? Because the Bible said, you don't have to be good for a long period of time to make God happy. All you have to do is believe him. Can you believe God in that area right now? I want you to know something. When he smiles in your area, things begin to change in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for a gift of faith over everyone in here. In Jesus' name, amen.